to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week our podcast features an interview with David Cordish, the chairman and CEO of the Cordish Companies, on the 10th anniversary of the opening of Maryland Live and how his interest in gaming began. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT with its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, which is a hit and performing at over three times versus house, according to the Eilers June report. Learn more at IGT.com/prosperity.
Ain't nowhere to run to. There ain't nothing here for free.
Cordish Companies is a family business that stretches back for five generations. David Cordish is the chairman and CEO of the company that has been a pioneer of urban development in cities around the world. 10 years ago, Cordish got directly involved in gaming with the opening of Maryland Live, one of the most successful casinos on the East Coast. The company has since expanded into Pennsylvania and has grand plans for the future. He spoke with me from his offices in Baltimore in June. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My special guest today is David Cordish, the head of the Cordish Companies, and we're here to talk about the 10th anniversary of your first gaming property, Maryland Live. David, thanks for joining us. It's good to see you again.
Well, my pleasure to be here, and I certainly don't want to start the interview with a correction, but you're sort of right and you're sort of wrong. Maryland Live was our first ground-up gaming casino resort that we own 100% of.
Right.
But we had built from the ground up two of the great casinos in America, the two Hard Rocks in Florida.
True. Yes.
And when I say we built, we were the developer. We put up all the equity.
Right.
We got financing. We did the design. We did everything.
Right.
Jim Allen was an employee of the Cordish Company in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We took him to Florida, and he's been there ever since. He's magnificent. I think one of the top couple gaming gurus in the United States. But those were our first two, the one in Tampa and the one
That's
in
right.
Hollywood.
That's right, and, yeah. But this was the first one you wholly owned and operated as well. And I remember being there 10 years ago with Rob Norton showing me around, and it really kind of blew me away. It was really a fantastic property.
Well, thank you. And Rob is still with us.
That's
and,
right.
Heads up Cordish Gaming nationwide, and I'd love to have you back because Roger, even as sophisticated as you are in gaming. You would not recognize the place because the Maryland law that we were subject to 10 years ago was slots only. And we didn't have a poker room. We didn't have card games. We were constrained land-wise,
right,
that we corrected. So we couldn't build a luxury hotel, which we've now done. We couldn't build a luxury hall, as we call it,
sure,
the entertainment complex, and a number of other retail things. We couldn't, of course, do sports book, and none of that was legal. And one by one, they became legal in Maryland, and we've added them. And I think without any real fear or contradiction, Maryland Live now is one of the top few casino resort entertainment complexes in the United States. Certainly by our revenues and our number of visitors, we'll be approaching 800 million GGR this year.
Sure.
That's getting up there.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's an amazing property and producing amazing revenue for sure. So it's part of your idea for the live concept. I mean, you've done this in many cities now. You know, Xfinity Live in Philly, and now I know you've done it in St. Louis and Kansas City. Where did that idea come from, and really what makes it successful?
Well, it's a great question, and I'll try to take you back a little to give you the history of it. So the Cordish Company, as you know, is almost 115 years old now as a development company. My grandfather started it.
Right.
My dad was active. Dad was till he was 93, worked full time.
Wow.
I'm the third generation. Blake, John, and Reed are the fourth. We actually have a fifth now.
Yeah.
And he's a dealer. Asher Cordish, one of my oldest grandsons, is a certified blackjack dealer and deals at both. He's still at the University of Pennsylvania, but summers and weekend at both Philly Live because he's at Penn and Barrel Live. Anyway, we've been five generations now. So what were we until the late 90s is a real estate development company.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed from the ground up over that time about 85 million square feet, having nothing to do with casinos.
Right.
And what our specialty was, we did mixed use and we did residential and hotels and office and everything else, but was an entertainment focus in the mixed use projects where it was not only an entertainment focus, but we were the operator.
Right.
So there's some fabulous development companies, you know, Simon and Taubman and Federal Realty and all these. They lease space to third parties.
Mm-hmm.
So do we. But decades ago, we decided we would also become a tenant.
Right.
And whether it's a restaurant or a bar or a live musical venue or a comedy or a jazz, we wouldn't call them Cordish. We sometimes are named after a famous chef, a famous ball player, whatever. And over the decades, we now have 200 and some venues that we run, and we cluster them around the plaza.
Right.
The plaza may be indoors, climate controlled. It may be outdoors, and we call those live entertainment districts.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the U.S. Patent Office, and we got the name "Live," all in caps, with an exclamation point, copyrighted, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
And if you see a live hotel, if you see a live casino, or you see a live entertainment district, it's Cordish, because it's our copyright. And in many ways, it was the live entertainment operations which got us in the game. And unlike other developers who lease space, and you lease the Barnes & Noble, they have to sell the books. If you lease the Phillips Seafood, they have to sell the crabs.
Mm-hmm.
We were used to operating. When Chief Billy of the Seminoles called in the late 90s and said, "I have two licenses, one in Tampa, one in Hollywood. We do bingo. We want $1 billion Vegas-style casino. Are you interested?" Well, I knew where the locations were. Who wouldn't be interested?
Sure.
You know, Florida, with tourists and guests, residents are, I don't know, 75 million people. Who wouldn't be interested? My first question to the chief was, "Why are you calling me? We've never done a casino." This is in the late 90s.
Right.
He says, "I know that." He says, "I know that." He says, "I'm calling you for a very simple reason. Everybody else has turned us down." And I said, "That's fair." And he had called Caesars, and he had called Steve Wynn, had been there, and you name them. And for various reasons, they couldn't see their way to doing a $1 billion casino off of a bingo license.
Right.
Well, we were able to figure it out. And I think what gave us the courage to get into gaming was it didn't scare us to have 4,000 or 5,000 employees in a venue.
Right.
Because of live. That's a long-winded answer to your question, but it was a damn good one. And it didn't bother us because we had been operating venues.
Sure.
Not casinos, but venues for a long time.
So did that kind of wet your whistle for gaming then? Did you see that the possibility?
Yeah, no question. And Look, gaming is, nobody knows better than you, it's a fantastic way to make a living.
Right.
You know, you're entertaining people. It's a good social experience. You're employing thousands of people at good pay. And you clearly, if you pick your locations right, ought to make a buck or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the odds are the house wins.
Right.
And so it's just math, and you need volume.
Right.
So volume is dependent on your location.
Sure.
And how well you run it. And what distinguishes a great casino from an average is what you put. We all play blackjack.
Right.
And we all have the same odds.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have the same slot machines. More or less, my machines are the same. So what makes the difference is what else you do to make it an experience.
Right.
So we knew we'd be good at that. And it's a great business. And once we did the two Seminole Hard Rocks, we never looked back.
So true. Okay. So you were in Atlantic City early on by developing the outlet mall in Atlantic City. Why didn't you pick Atlantic City to begin with to start your gaming empire?
And that's a great question that I don't know the answer to. But I can help you a little bit. We got into Atlantic City because the governor then called us and said they had had a public-private partnership with the Rouse Company.
Right.
Very, very good development company. Doesn't exist anymore. But back then, they were very good. And it kind of fell apart after a number of years. Nothing happened. So the land from the convention center to the backside of the casinos, about 8-10 blocks, was vacant. And their dream of a major retail draw wasn't happening. Anyway, our real estate company, that's the kind of thing we do, public-private.
Right.
And it turned out it was a fantastic partnership. We were married by the governor's office to the Casino Redevelopment Authority.
Right.
Jim Kennedy, who I'm sure you know.
I know him very well, yes.
There are very few public servants I have ever met as effective as Mr. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we formed this partnership to develop the eight blocks over a period of time and to do it with very high-end major, you know, Polo and these kind of tenants.
Right.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And to this day, that was 20-some
years
ago.
Yep.
Yeah, the walk, as we called it,
is
prospering. And so we got in because we were asked to do this retail thing, retail project. I looked at, there's a couple casinos we did look at hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for one reason or another, it didn't. I think we looked at the Tropicana. We looked at building on Bader Field. You know, I like Atlantic City. I think Atlantic City has real potential to this day.
Sure.
And it has its ups and downs, but, you know, you can't beat the tax rate.
Right.
You can't beat the Atlantic Ocean or that beach. The beach is as fine as any in the world.
Right.
The width of that beach, the sand. So, you know, I wouldn't close the door in Atlantic City ever.
Well, you know, Bader Field is still open if you want to come in. You know, I think that what they're talking about there is kind of ludicrous. I think with your experience and knowledge of how the East Coast works, I think you'd be the perfect developer there. But
well, thank you. It's a good tip. I haven't looked at it in a while. Yeah. I will.
Okay, great.
I always like Bader.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, is a hit and performing at over triple versus house, according to Eilers' June report. Both partner themes feature the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at IGT.com/prosperity. So let's go back to talk about live. I mean, you mentioned all the stages you went through there, from the slot machines to the table games. And I remember, you know, they were painful steps, each one of them. Now we've got sports betting, and retail sports betting is up and running, doing very well. But it seems like they're dragging their feet on mobile sports betting. What's going on there?
You know, Roger, I've never known you to be understated. A lot of people think, you know, he's pretty aggressive in his, you know, he does a good job of emoting. You just understated when you talk about Maryland and mobile betting. It is screwed up beyond comprehension. Now, the good news is Live is doing every month over 50% of the total sports betting in the state.
Really? Wow.
And yeah, and all you just look at the monthly statistics put out by the state.
Right.
We'll do anywhere from 52 to 57% of the total, which is not bad work considering we're competing against MGM,
right,
Caesars, mm-hmm, Penn National, Churchill, and they're all splitting up the other 40%. One of our reasons for success is we partnered with FanDuel,
right?
We're their exclusive partner in the state of Maryland, and they've been a very good partner. But now to answer your question, Maryland passed a law several years ago authorizing mobile sports betting. It's right. Authorized.
Right.
And that you could have it in your casino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The in the casino part was a very short couple paragraphs. It was easy. And we all have it. Caesar has it. MGM has it. Live has it. In the casino. On the other hand, they passed a committee structure that was part of mobile, in which they mend. It's a commission. It's called the, I don't know, it's, I forget the name of it, but you call it Equal Opportunity Commission.
Sure, right.
So that's not the wording, but right, that's what they meant, which may be a good idea, but implementing it,
mm-hmm,
it is difficult.
Yeah.
And they did a study, this commission did, and that took a year or so, and they didn't like their own study.
Right.
The industry had nothing to do with it. So they're now commissioning another study. And until all the studies are done, they can't even get to the question of how to implement mobile. And I just couldn't tell you remotely when that will be and what year it'll be. It'll be sometime.
Sure.
And what it will really look like.
Yeah.
Maryland basically has a law that says unlimited mobile licenses.
Mm-hmm.
You can have one on every street corner.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Sure.
That's what it is. Well, how do you implement that? And does the operator of the 7-Eleven who's going to have mobile sports betting has to be licensed? And what is his net worth? And somebody makes a bet, can he pay it off?
Right.
When they were passing the law, we testified, we told them that this is what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said, fine, you're going to give us the retail right off the bat, we'll do great. And we're not going anywhere. We've been in Maryland for 100 and some years. Eventually, you'll figure it out. You'll have mobile. But we really suggested strongly, not meekly, but strongly,
right,
they were making a mistake the way they were wording it. We showed them the legislation. I don't know, something like 35 other states at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why don't you follow, you know,
right,
they're not chopped liver, these places.
Sure.
You know, state like Pennsylvania, it's a big state.
Right.
They got good staff. They know what they're doing. Take a look. No.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Pennsylvania. You went into Philly with opening the Philly Live there, and it took a while to come through some convoluted ownership things like that. But now I know it's you're knocking them dead up there. How did that take you? How long did that take you to develop? And what's it doing right now?
Okay, first of all, the location, which had a lot to do with our winning the license, was the last full casino license issued by the state of Pennsylvania. It really was a fluke. They had authorized 13. They gave out 13 years ago,
right,
way back. And one of the 13 that was designated to be somewhere in the city proper of the Philadelphia, city of Philadelphia, didn't happen. And the people had to give it back, the ownership, and the state put it back out to bid. You could bid anywhere you wanted in the city.
Mm-hmm.
There were very good people involved. Mohegan Sun bid,
sure.
Wynn bid.
Right.
We decided the place to put it was in the middle of the stadium district,
mm-hmm.
where you have, as you well know, on one parking lot, the Eagles, the Phillies, the Flyers, and the 76ers.
Right.
Virtually nowhere in America does that exist. And they draw over 10 million people a year, and you are right off of I-95,
right.
476. It's a fantastic location. Why would you put four,
right.
the four professional teams and one that go to? And we were very fortunate to win the award. We had a partner that we bought out because our view was to build really a first-class facility,
sure.
and we just felt we wanted to call it Live.
Right.
That the best thing to do was to own it 100%. We built Philly Live, as I say, right in the stadium district in the midst of COVID.
Right.
It was not easy. It was not fun.
Sure.
We opened in the middle of COVID.
Right.
So there were mandates of every kind from the city. The city was very aggressive with its mandates.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't apply to anything outside the city limits.
Right.
And we are barely in the city where the stadium
right.
district is. We're really, you could almost say we're not, but legally we are. So it was not an easy task. Just construction was difficult because workers, we had to give them all certain protective things,
sure.
and take their temperatures. We got it done, and eventually COVID waned, and eventually the city got rid of its restrictions. And it's a 5-star hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's got great restaurants, and the casino's killing it.
Yeah.
We have a very close partnership with the Phillies,
mm-hmm.
and they were kind enough to allocate by a permanent a written agreement surface parking at our front door to complement our garage parking.
Okay.
So that you literally, we have two front doors. You want to park on the surface for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I call the Phillies,
right.
Phillies agreement with us, or you want to come into our garage.
Yeah.
And, we did that at Maryland Live. It took us years to get the surface.
Right.
We opened with a 5,000 space garage. It really helped when we were able to also, some people don't want to go in a garage.
Right, sure.
Other people don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer it because it's climate controlled and take the elevator. Okay. When you can give them both, you're well ahead of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been able to add a lot of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
At Philly, just the same way we do it. At Maryland Live this weekend, we have Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And we have boxing, we have wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the same thing in Philadelphia, and it's a good formula. And actually, we've learned, we were a little surprised, that the two are close enough together. It's a 2-hour drive.
Right.
We're getting customers from Philly who come down to try Maryland and vice versa. Same rewards program.
Sure, right.
So it's been a good story.
Yeah, that's great. And then in Western Pennsylvania, opened a mini casino outside of Pittsburgh. And that looks like it's doing very well also.
It is. That's a gem. It's in the county of Westmoreland. We're right next to, I mean, it's a good football throw to the Steelers training camp and kind of headquarter type building. And really good community. It's copied of our model in Maryland Live. Now, Maryland Live was ground up, but we did a ground lease with Simon Properties, who owns Arundel Mills Mall. It's a 1.5 million square foot mall.
Right, sure.
In Westmoreland, we took a department store in a big mall and converted it. Penn National is doing something similar in Pennsylvania. You know, it's what they call a Cat 4. And pound for pound, it doesn't get any better than the Pittsburgh Live. And it's a full casino with card games and slots and a lot of entertainment, sports and social, our sports betting, everything. But under the law, you can only make a Cat 4 so many table games and many slots.
Right.
But it's a good one.
Right. So you also got an entree into the Pennsylvania online gaming and sports betting markets there. How's that been performing for you?
Well, and it's a learning experience too. We have a partnership in sports betting, but we decided in iGaming just to use Live.
Right.
So you dial in on your computer to Live and you play blackjack or whatever. And we had done a lot of social gaming. For example, in Maryland, iGaming is not allowed. But social iGaming is.
Right.
So we knew how to do it. And it was an experiment for us that we're very happy with in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
You know, you have some very, very good iGaming competitors.
Sure.
And we're kind of doing it our way without a lot of marketing.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you got a great partner in GAN. Dermot Smurfit is a friend of ours, and I know he does a great job. And he started with you back in Maryland just with social gaming. So you've kind of grown up together, I assume.
Very well said. Very well said, and they're a good partner. Yeah, no, it's been something new for us.
Right.
And it worked out better than we would have thought.
Okay.
And one of the things with GAN, we're disciplined about it.
Sure.
Where you know, it's not easy to acquire new customers through the ether, as you know.
Right.
And then you can go too crazy in spending to get them, and then you don't make any money.
Right.
So we're using the Live brand, which people know about. Remember, we have a big project in the stadium district for 10 years called Xfinity Live.
Right. Yes.
And it's strictly the entertainment I described earlier, but it's got a lot of loyal customers.
Right.
And we have a huge database, and the casino uses it, and it's been good.
Right, right. So you recently sold your casino real estate to GLPI. We were talking to Peter Carlino a few weeks ago, and he was saying that he really felt the connection with you guys. You had the same kind of mentality and corporate culture. Did you feel the same way about GLPI?
Yeah, we did. And we've known Peter personally for a long, long time.
Sure.
I've been a good friend of his, and he's given me advice, and he's one of the a couple other great leaders in the country.
Yes, yeah.
May be true that he spends his time now with GLPI, but he founded Penn National.
Sure, right.
Built it into, you know, he's a
visionary,
giant,
for sure.
Visionary and a giant, a great guy. And we made a partnership that's a little different than the other OpCo PropCos.
Right.
And they get to participate in future casinos of ours.
Mm-hmm.
They get to participate in entertainment concepts that are non-gaming.
Okay.
There's a whole series of things we're doing in addition to the ground lease. And it's worked out. We're already exploring together three or four things.
Sure.
So that it's it was much more of a joint venture, looking to the future, than simply a ground lease payment on existing revenue.
Sure, absolutely. So you've got a lot of good executives that have worked for you, and they've worked for you for many years. You know, Jay and Rob, and you know, I can go down the list. Carmen, we on this call, we've also got Kim Townsend. You know, people that have been with you from the start, and is that the loyalty you feel to these people? Do you, how much credit do you give them for the success of the company?
Well, I give them all the credit. And no question, in answer to your question, we have loyalty to them. The important thing is, though, their loyalty to us.
Yes.
You know, I was at the casino in Maryland Monday morning, and we did an award. And we gave out some special gifts to employees who had been with us from day one. And of course, you don't know, you know Travis Lamb, and
sure,
you know Rob Gordon,
right.
You know Carmen. There were 60 employees that came up to the podium that we gave this award to, who were with us since day one. That's, I think, remarkable. And there's no question, that's why we're successful.
Yeah.
They create the vibe with the customer.
Right.
And the fact that they stay with us must mean they're reasonably happy with us. And with the family and the atmosphere, they imbue that to the customer, and that's where you win it or lose it.
Sure.
So
you mentioned that Cordish has been a family business for over 100 years now, and your three sons are in the business. I mean, that must feel good to be able to pass on this business to them. Where would you like to see them take the Cordish companies?
Let me back. It's a hard question. I know this. They'll grow it. And I know this. We'll be in businesses we're not in today.
Yeah.
How do I know that? I just look at our history.
Yeah.
So the gaming division is we're definitely going to grow and stay in. The real estate, we're definitely going to grow and stay in. We have a private equity division that we're definitely going to grow. And it's been very successful. The fourth major division is Entertainment Concepts Incorporated, I alluded to. We made a big decision, and it's really my son's, it wasn't me. Previously, to a few years ago, that division only grew when Cordish owned developed properties.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted a Cordish Sports and Social, fine. You went to Maryland Live. You went to Pittsburgh Live. You went to Philly Live.
Sure.
But now we are going into other people's projects and with our venues. So we have a country western concept called PBR. And we're going in Simon's. We're going in Federal. We're going in Taubman's. We're going in all around. So that division can now grow not twice as fast, but four or five times. How many projects can we do at one time?
Sure.
Well, you know, I don't care who you are. You do one big project a year. But if you open yourself up to other people's projects, it's a different story.
Right.
So clearly that's one avenue that they're taking the company. But there will be, we have a movie company. We've had it for 30 years in Hollywood. It's called Seventh Art Releasing. Seventh Art is the movie industry is considered the Seventh Art.
Okay.
And it's a small little thing. But it, you know, it's almost 30 years old. Business is business. And if you can run a business, it's just like you do running your business is getting along with people and it's problem solving.
Right.
That's what business is all about.
Right.
I am convinced you could run a plastics manufacturing company if you put your mind to it.
Sure.
You don't know anything about plastics. You don't know anything about manufacturing. If you put your mind to it, it's the same problem solving as in your business. And I think we could too.
Right.
So what we will do, I'm not sure.
Right. Well, David, I could talk to you all day. I'd learn that much more about business if I was able to talk to you all day. But I know you're busy, and I really appreciate the time you've given us. And again, congratulations on the 10th anniversary of your gaming division. I can see that going in many different directions, and we'll stay in touch. And we're going to talk to some of your executives as well along the way here, and see what they're doing.
Roger, thanks for the interview.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT and its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times house according to Eilers June report. Discover more at igt.com/prosperity. To learn more about gaming in Maryland and Pennsylvania, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.